And welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm your host, Dougie Almeida, and I'm joined by two comedians, good fellow, and an encore performance for Mr. Steve McGrew, who was just here last week. So funny, we had to bring him fucking back. And Tim Gaither, welcome to the show.
What's up, buddy? Thanks for having me.
You guys are viewing the next greatest comedy tour that's going to hit all the red states in the coming months.
Hit him right in the junk.
Our first opening date's going to be in Portland.
Nice. Portland and then Seattle, hopefully.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to hit the Chicago and then Atlanta. Yeah, why not, right? Anyway, welcome to the
show. Bring everybody. Bring your Aunt Tifa and everybody.
Did you guys see there was a bit of a craziness in Seattle again? I guess the Proud Boys and the Antifa got into a little bit of a gunfight.
Oh, yeah? I didn't see that.
Yeah, there was a bit of a skirmish, but apparently it was just one guy shot into the crowd. And he missed. So yes. That must have been Antifa, because I don't put that on the Proud Boys.
Yeah, here's a guy from Antifa shooting a gun. Yeah.
I saw this in a video.
I'm gonna put a cap in your head.
I mean, I'm glad he didn't hit anybody, but how do you shoot into a crowd and miss? It's like falling out of a boat and not hitting water.
It's like a gutter ball. It's like throwing a fucking gutter ball. Well, thank God, like you said, they did, because hey, listen, we got plenty to talk about. First of all, if anybody was expecting some sort of liberal broadcast today, you're gonna be fucking disappointed. Because that's not happening here. And you know what? And we've got, listen, this is the beauty of it, because, you know, I've kind of been, you know, as much bad things as our president has done in the last 8 months he started, I thought, you know what? I'm not going to be like everybody who was on the left during the previous administration, that every time something happened, they were on their Facebook, oh, you know, look at Trump this. Trump, I said, you know what? Let's just let this guy hang himself. And then when something happens, I'm going to then speak out. Well, one of the most incredible tragedies we've seen ever by an administration was what we have in front of us with this Afghanistan thing. And all my liberal friends are like, oh, what's the fucking big deal? Well, this is fucking Trump set this thing up. Trump set this thing up. He's the one who wanted to pull out of Afghanistan. And I pointed out to somebody, I go, hey, let me ask you a question. And the person, of course, is, you're not a military strategist. I said, look, I used to kick people's ass in the game of Risk. Okay, so I'm pretty fucking good as a strategist, number one. I said, but you don't need to be a military strategist to understand that whenever there's a military plan, that I can assure you that if you set that plan, let's say 15 months ago, i.e. when Trump was supposedly talking about pulling out again, when you set it up, anything that was done militarily 12, 14 months ago, I can imagine there was other moments where that plan would have to be readdressed. In other words, the military doesn't set a plan and then don't look at anything and then say, you know what, fuck it. In 9 months, this is what we're going to do. Every fucking day.
Well, you know, what I was thinking too about this was, yes, they set a date that they were going to get out, but who told everybody the exact date? Remember the old days, you didn't let anybody know what you were doing. You just didn't. Yeah. There was no set plans. And also, why wouldn't they have told every American by tweet, hey, on a certain date, we're going to get out. So look, don't everybody leave at once. That might look fishy. So start going, I'm going to go visit grandma in Cleveland. And y'all start leaving one at a time over the next 15 months.
Yeah, I got to take my video back to the Blockbuster in Kabul.
Well, yeah. they told this dumbass what to do and how to do it, and he just didn't listen to them. You know, it's my understanding that he didn't listen to the people in charge. Now they were like, get the citizens out, then get all our equipment out of there, and then get the military out. That's all he had to do, but he didn't do it because he's trying to ruin the country, because he's controlled by somebody who wants to destroy America, is my opinion.
Well, he's not even sure that they're getting the Americans out right now. I mean, they're not even sure, you know, they're bringing a ton of people on these planes, but they're not, it's like the house is on fire and he grabbed his stepkids. You know, his real kids are going, Daddy! Daddy!
Or his pets. He got his pets out first. Yeah. He got the bird and his cat and the dog.
And his wife's still in the bed.
Yeah, He got the kids that were over for the sleepover. He's got the neighbor's dog. He's got the postman.
He grabbed everything, but who he was supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, and then here's the thing. Here's the beauty of it. I mean, look, the guy is fucking the pooch. And, you know, one of the things, the only good thing about him winning this election was, you know, it's almost like as a comic, when somebody says, I'm funny as shit, I'm fucking hilarious, you know, guys don't know I'm a... And then you're all right, get on stage, bitch. Let's see what you could do. And then they get up on stage and eat a dick. Then
yeah,
you know,
I headline all the alternative rooms in LA.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and so that's what's happening. You got somebody who said, hey, I'm gonna do it better. I'm better, I'm smarter, I'm all this kind of shit. I'm not the last idiot. And then you come out and in 8 months, you completely ruin almost everything you fucking touch. And I'm tired of these fucking people laughing. Our Vice President Kamala Harris was asked today by an interviewer, like, you know, when she was heading towards, I guess she was heading to Europe, but she's like to Asia for some. And she's like, she, of course, they ask her questions. She's like, let me assure you, Afghanistan is our number one fucking priority.
She calls it Laughganistan.
Yeah. Jesus, she's a freaking disgrace. And, you know, I said this on Twitter the other day. I was like, you know, we've got a guy who's had two brain aneurysms and two brain surgeries and a woman who couldn't win the primary in her own state leading this whole charge. So it should be fine. You know, it's absurd.
Yeah. Well, you know, on Friday, President Biden went out and addressed the nation. And he says, number one, he says, first of all, everything's cool. We're good. And, you know, everybody's getting to the airport fine. And, you know, and he says, and our allies love us. The allies have no fucking problem with it. Meanwhile, Mark Macron, the fucking British Parliament, Merkel's, that bull dyke in Germany, Merkel's successor.
You're gonna get us canceled.
I don't care. I don't really care anymore. If you don't like, I'm at that point now where if you don't like what I say, guess what? Tough shit. A solar flare will hit you in the ass. So don't worry about how upset you get from my words or choices.
Dougie, be careful or you're going to end up like Tim and I going, hey, what happened to all that work we used to have?
Well, it's funny you should bring that up because, you know, here's the thing. I made this post about how Biden fucked up. You know, he basically fucked up. He came on television and lied. He lied about people having it easy to get to the airport, number one. And he lied about our allies being all happy with our decision. Nobody is the only people that are happy with this fucking decision is the Taliban
and China.
China.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps forgetting that.
The Taliban tally me banana. Look, if he had 81 million votes, how come there's not at least 50 million tweets going, yay, Biden? I don't see one.
Yeah.
You know, at 80, there should just be a ton of tweets constantly about, yay, this is the right thing to do. Our man is getting it done.
Yeah. No, they're mailing those letters in. There's no tweeting. There's just a bunch of mail that has to be audited. So I did post that he, you know, he lied and that impeachment papers are being drawn because from what I understand, there's already people on the Republican side that want to investigate this whole fucking freak, this whole big pile of shit. And there will be, right? Hopefully. I mean, they wanted to investigate Ukraine. They wanted to find out what happened with that. So this is definitely, I got room. And I love it now when, isn't it funny when they're saying, hey, no time for blame. Let's not worry about blaming people right now. Okay. Well, I remember that was something I said in the middle of the beginning of the pandemic where you guys are worrying about, you know, putting a more positive look on it. Somebody brought up one of my posts. They're like, hey, you know, your President Trump really diminished the COVID response. He underplayed it and this and that. I go, hey, let me ask you a question. This is, if you're on a beach and you see a tsunami approaching, right? And then you realize there's other people on the beach. Are you concerned about how everybody on the beach is describing the oncoming tsunami? You know, in other words, are you sitting there wondering how everybody's describing the oncoming tsunami, or are you actually looking at the tsunami? Like, in other words, we all understand, like I know in times of crisis, like in financial crisis, like in 9/11, when things happened, the 2008 financial crisis, when things like that happen, it's unprecedented. And how you handle it is like training by, it's learning by fire. It's like the Marines, right? Learning by fire. You only gonna, you got to figure out, you got to hopefully make the best decisions, and who the fuck knows. And you know what? But what I pointed out to somebody was, we've had 600 deaths during this COVID thing. 200 of them, over 200 people have died since Biden has been president. And this is
200,000. What are you talking about?
Since Biden has been president, over 200,000 people have died of COVID. Prior to that, it was 400,000 with Trump. Now, somebody said that's 50% more or 100% more. But in the fact that that was during a time where there's no vaccine, that was during a time when it just started. That was when there was no ventilators and masks and overcrowd. So if you take it proportionally, it's a big failure on the Biden team that they had everything in place when he started, but he still lost 200,000 people. So for you to blame Trump for those 400,000 and not, and at the same, in the same breath, not blame Biden for the other 200,000, that's inconsistent. And that's just,
well, how we, this is what I want to know, how we become a society that just can't go, oh, okay, I was wrong, you're right. I mean, how have we become that? Because, you know, they could be going on and on and on about, but, you know, but remember, like, the Vice President Kamala was like, well, if Trump's endorsing the vaccine, I don't think I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, take the vaccine. Take. So why wouldn't they go, you know what? We were wrong about Trump. Just take the, probably best to take the vaccine. Wouldn't that persuade more people?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. People have such short memories for all that stuff. You know, I have a friend that works for Pfizer, and he said the whole reason that it got rolled out as fast as it did was all because of Trump getting rid of all that bureaucratic bullshit that goes into making those things take so long. But, and something else people don't talk about is the fact that the flu has gone away. There was 27,000 cases this year, and last year there were 38 million. And those PCR tests cannot differentiate between COVID and the flu. So that's why they're pushing so hard, because December 31st, they're going to have a whole brand new test that will differentiate between whether you have the COVID or you have the flu. So then if all the other, if half the country is still not vaccinated, but all of a sudden COVID goes away and the flu numbers go up, people go, wait, what the hell just happened? We've been lied to. It's, in my opinion, the biggest lie ever told. And it's not even about politics anymore. To me, it's about the fact that Biden is being controlled by somebody who wants a global agenda, and we are not going to end up on the good end of it, 99% of us. It's, I'm of that mindset.
But we seem to be the last to really jump in and fight it, because if you look at the, if you're online, like, France is already having it, Australia's going nuts with protest, England's blocking streets, you know, and America's kind of like, well, I'm not really happy about this. So we're kind of the last to go, hey, we're not going global.
Yeah, it's my opinion that Americans have become so, you know, we've had it so good for so long in this country that we've become so complacent and lazy and kind of stupid. And we just don't think that, like, it can happen here. But people forget how young of a country America actually is and how quickly it could all go away. And the founding fathers knew that. They knew we would have to continuously fight for our freedoms. That's why they lined up the Constitution the way they did. And they're just ignoring the shit out of the Constitution lately, and it drives me insane. All that stuff they did to even have mail-in balloting, that was all illegal shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that drives me nuts, because at least our side didn't even step up. You know, the Republicans didn't throw a giant fit and going, no, we, that is wrong, that's illegal, we'll sue, this will not happen. You know?
Yeah.
Well, from what I understand is that ultimately, because everybody wondered what happened to the Bull Durham report, you know, and that kind of, the Barr Durham report and all this kind of thing. And a lot of that was kiboshed by Maxine Gaswell, whatever her name, Giswell, Jizz all over you, whatever her name was, because the trove of information she had on powerful people was mighty. And so that's supposedly why things kind of got shut down. However, there is a second shoe will fall. And supposedly the powers that be on the Republican Party are waiting for old El Dumo and El Horro to completely fuck up. And, you know, listen, whatever ends up happening, I think even now, I mean, listen, Biden's numbers are falling like crazy. His approval rating is falling.
They're falling faster than Kardashian panties in a basketball locker. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? That's it. Because sometimes, like I said earlier, you got to let the critics step up. You got to let that person who says they know better get up there and show people how little they do know to win over the American public. So, you know, you still have these fucking libtards. You still have these people. And these are friends. Listen, I had a friend I've known since I've been in middle school that, you know, just because I said something about Biden, pointed out that he fucked up here, right? And, you know, like you said, Tim, you know, you bring up anything about Biden, the next thing anybody brings up, well, what about Trump? I'm like, look, he hasn't been president for fucking 9 months. So I'm not, you know what I mean? I don't sit there and go to dinner somewhere and then complain about the chef from somewhere else I ate 3 months ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you saw the post. I tweeted, I made a meme that had Governor Cuomo and Osama bin Laden on it. And it just said, which of these two killed more Americans? And constantly people were posting underneath it, Trump killed more. Trump killed. Yeah. And it's like, that had nothing to do with it. That was not the meme. That was not the question. But you just want to blame Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems to be a knee-jerk reaction. And like I said earlier, you know, when it comes to this pullout of Afghanistan, you know, the final decision was made. And what people are already starting to say was that it was all about the optics. Biden wanted to get this done by 9/11. He thought that was like he think he would get something accomplished. He ignored. And what he said on Friday was the consensus of the reports was that Afghanistan would not fall. Well, I'm a fucking comic who manages money, and I'm not a military strategist. I was a kick-ass person in the game of Risk, I did mention. But I saw the Iraqi defense system fail. You know, these people don't have anything to fight for. You know, they got their paychecks, and they went home the next day. So it was not a surprise to me that the Afghan defense forces fell. It was this, and somebody posted on my post, they're like, Who are the ones that said that was going to fail? I said, well, the CIA, the FBI. And, you know, these are just people that watch one news source because they're not, you know, it was Bloomberg or not Bloomberg. It was, I don't remember. It was other sources of news that reported this stuff. The FBI, the CIA all came out and said it's going to be weeks, days, not months. So a consensus means a majority of people feel a certain way. Well, very few people thought it would go a long time. The majority of people thought it was going to be quick. The question was how quick. So the fact that this fucking crash test dummy of a Muppet president decided to ignore it, he's got blood on his hands.
Yeah. You know how when you open up a race day, the horses just take off. And that's exactly, I mean, like you said, a comic. I know that. You pull the plug, water's going to rush out. That's what's going to happen immediately. So how did he not know that?
No. Well, he doesn't know it. He doesn't even know how to walk back into the White House. Did you guys see the video where he got lost?
Yeah, I saw that. The guy actually pointing that way.
the guy's like, go that fucking way. And he keeps walking like a dope.
Dude, this is a completely different thing, I guess. But has anybody noticed that the man doesn't look like the same person half the time?
Yeah.
Some videos or pictures, you're like, is that the same guy? Like, what's going on right now? You know, like as far as the Republicans and all that, I think the corruption runs super deep on both sides, especially one side right now, and it has for a long time. And that's personally why I decided that I liked Trump, because I started realizing, like, hey, this guy has not only done a lot for the country, but he's trying to expose just how disgusting Washington, D.C. is and how they've been screwing us forever to make money. And that's why I was like, you know, I started looking into things after that whole thing about the fine people on both sides speech. Once you realize, like, he didn't say that. That's not what he was talking about. Then you start looking at all the other things and realizing how they just take snippets of his. And he's a soundbite's dream because he says so much off shit. So they just cut out what they need for their purposes and they put it on a loop. And then the country gets brainwashed. And that's what just... It's eating at me. I've been going down too many rabbit holes lately about who's behind all wars and famines and everything else. It's all instigated, orchestrated, and funded by the global elite. And once you start realizing that shit, you start noticing all this stuff, and it'll slowly drive you insane.
No, Tim has brought up a few conspiracy theories. And you know what? Let me ask you guys. I am, listen, when it comes to the Illuminati, globalist beliefs, what's the word? We've got way too much overpopulation, depopulation moves. I mean, listen, that's what people are saying. This is what this has been about. This is about just another way to depopulate the United, the earth, because there's more people going after fewer resources. One of the biggest problems we have right now is China controls a lot of the rare earth elements. And guess where there's a lot of rare earth elements right now? In Afghanistan.
Afghanistan!
Right. So yep. Now China's going in and go, oh, don't worry about this country, America. We help you. And there goes another fucking group of fans I lost. But you know what? Who gives a shit? But you know what? But that's what's happening. And, you know, some people say, oh, you believe in conspiracy theories. Well, you know what? Listen, I am of the belief we need to thin the herd. You know, I think that. I think that, you know, there's a lot of fucking useless people on Earth. And, you know, you should pass like a fucking, just like America's Got Talent has like an audition. The world should have an audition stage where everybody kind of steps up and go, okay, what can you do? Oh.
You know. Well, just remember, everybody thought Noah was a conspiracy theorist until it started to rain.
Yeah. Well, all conspiracy theories aren't the same either. You know, you got some that are out there, and then some, if you look into them, you're like, holy shit, that's completely feasible. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to go down a 9/11 rabbit hole, but it's like my favorite topic. And,
Have you guys ever seen the video character that I do sometime called Conspiracy Theory Carl?
No, I haven't seen that one.
It's a tinfoil hat and the fake teeth, but I'm always trying to put just weird stuff together. Like, hey, you know, when you turn in your cell phones, when you give them back, your saliva is on the phone from talking, and they're going to get your DNA off of that, and they're going to clone you, and they'll replace you. That you know, you'll start talking like a liberal, when people go, "What happened? You've changed." Well, that's right, because they got your DNA off your cell phone. So that's the kind of conspiracy theories that I'm always trying to come up with for that guy. And they're really easy to come up with.
Yeah.
Well, why would you not believe? Like, in other words, all right. Do I personally feel there's something in the, let's say, for example, in the vaccines? Okay. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, you know, as much as Trump is not a globalist, he's completely the opposite, right? He's a centralist trying to keep our countries, you know, within ourselves and our own concern. So I don't know. I mean, is it or not? I don't know. But do I think China released the fucking virus? Of course they did, because they were pissed that Trump was kicking his ass. And he says, all right, fuck it. Let's do this. And then let's see everybody pay on an economic scale. And is there, you know, now the real question would be, is the idea for globalism like a way to keep the masses in line? Because you can't have individualistic people like in our country, because we're all special. We all fighting for that thing. And that's what the globalists don't want anymore, right? They don't want people in this country, you know, the real rich. I mean, the real rich want to stay rich, right?
Well, they've been talking about a new world order and one world government for a long time now, and they sneak it in a politician way so it doesn't sound like what it is. But they've been talking about it forever. And
yeah,
so...
Well, and exactly. I mean, even brought it up in one of Obama's speeches, brought up this new world order. You know, China wants to unpeg the U.S. dollar. They want a Chinese cryptocurrency or collection or basket of cryptocurrencies to work. And there's some stupid ass people in this country that are going, that would be great. I'm like, yeah, you thought you were poor now. Wait till the U.S. dollar slips and there's no longer part of a commodity and measuring prices.
Wait till you're sewing shoes for a nickel a day.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
And that's what it's all coming down to. But I thought it was great that, you know, listen, all I know is if you have too many friends on Facebook and you need to thin the herd on Facebook, just make a political post.
Dude, I've been going through my Facebook a little bit at a time and being like, you know, I don't remember your name. I don't think I've ever talked to you. And then I'll look at their thing for 2 seconds and I'm like, yeah, we wouldn't be friends in any environment. So I just, you know, I'm just trying to get people that agree with me, because life is too short to argue with people who at this point will not see You know, like Steve said earlier, if somebody presents to me some fact and it turns out to be true, I'll be like, hey, I was wrong. And
yeah.
why is that such a problem for people anymore? Like I get it, whatever, you didn't like Trump for whatever reason, but you can't see that this guy is destroying the country and is nothing but a freaking puppet for somebody who wants nothing good for us? I mean, how many fucking things do they have to do? What does he have against diabetics? You know, he made insulin. He took, that was like the first thing he did was make insulin not affordable again. It's like, why would you do that? What do you got against diabetics, you dick?
That's Trump's new slogan, make insulin great again. Well, you know, that's Tim, you're totally right. That's what I don't understand. How can they not look and go, you know, I hated Trump's mean tweets, but hey, I'm paying more for gas. Hey, my groceries are up. Hey, my insurance just got a little bit. How can they, even if they didn't like Trump, how did they not see their life isn't better?
These are the same people that said Trump had nothing to do with the market growing. And now these are the same people that are going, look, the market's up with Biden as president. You know, you're like, look, one, you can't be, you know, you have to be on one side of an argument. You can't say, like, I, as a financial, as a fiduciary, I'm here to tell you that very, very, very few presidents or presidents of the United States have any real influence on the long-term aspects of a market. That's a global thing. It has a lot of moving parts. What we did see with Trump was that when he was elected, that it caused a run on the market because deregulation. We realized a lot of companies realized there was going to be favor to business development in this country, right? And taxation. And well, why didn't that all collapse when Biden became president? Because there was actually people who thought, okay, there's going to be some stability because there's not going to be all this infighting. But then you get this Muppet in the office, and what's he doing? He's fucking the pooch. And, you know, and he listen, and that's the other thing about, this is the inconsistency too I love, is when they say, oh, you know, listen, Biden's just following what Trump did. I go, really? Is this the one fucking thing that he's going to do? The minute he hit office, he signed the pen and put all his executive orders. Stop the building of the wall. Do this, change all this shit that Trump
stop
had
the pipeline. Doing.
Yeah, stop yeah. everything. But, oh, but the Afghanistan thing, Trump was great about that. You know, no, fuck that. You know, people we just were, don't know.
We were energy independent for the first time, what, ever under
like
Trump?
Ever.
Yeah, ever. And
yeah, he stops our pipeline, but okays the Russian pipeline. Like, yeah. tell me there's not something on Hunter's laptop that's not connected to that.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I've been meaning to say this, but like, I wish I had the article in front of me, but I don't know if you guys read the Epoch Times. I don't know if it's Epic or Epoch, but I read it.
Epic.
And they had this great article once about how China has infiltrated Hollywood, big tech, the media, our education system. And you never hear anybody talking about that. And this is a country that has manipulated their own people forever, yeah. You know? And lied to them and propaganda and all that shit, and they've leaked into all of our stuff, and that's why this country is so divided. It's all by design. It's not just circumstance. They know exactly what they're doing. They've been doing it forever.
And they're really good about letting things just go for a long. This you know, we want it now and tomorrow. Where they're like, hey, this may take 30 years, but we're okay with that.
Yeah,
sit back and let it go.
Exactly. Yep. That's what Khrushchev said in 59. He was like, I don't remember the exact quote, but he basically said, we'll get you fuckers to be what we want you to be. And it'll sneak up on you. You won't even know it hit you. And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Has been happening.
The Chinese are smart. They know what they're doing. You know, they went through Africa. They told all these African nations, don't worry, we'll build your infrastructure. It'll be our gift and everything. And then they got rights to the land. To the natural resources of Africa. And there's a lot of African countries now going, the fuck, you know, they realize they fucked up. And, you know, and we all know that Biden has been compromised by China. And that's why he's allowing the shit that he's going. That's why nobody wants to investigate the Wuhan lab. That's why that all shit is a joke. They're not even going to worry about that. Yeah. And fucking Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden gets to sell shit paintings to people and it keeps anonymous. So who gets a half $500 million for his fucking painting? I mean,
Salvador Dali couldn't even do that, and he was a real artist.
Yeah. You know, it's just, you know, but the only thing I'm praying, A, is that from what I understand from people that are in certain organizations like the Knights of Malta and stuff, I know, and people and through my circles, is that that the shoe will fall. And, you know, this will all end miserably for the globalists. And that's what's the secondary tier, which is still there, and which will happen. I have no doubt that from what we are experiencing aside, listen, you don't see a lot of your liberal friends defending this guy. There's just those few diehard cocksuckers that, you know, want to comment on what you say. And again, the minute you bring up anything like, well, fucking Trump, like, this has nothing to do with Trump. You know what I mean? And you know what? And then Psaki today, this that ginger, miserable fucking cunt. Listen,
fire crotch.
You know, the guy asked her today, says like, oh, you said it, Steve. You corrected me. Like,
yeah. Being,
what did he say?
Ducey asked her about what, Americans being stranded in Afghanistan, and she snapped back about they are not stranded. We are in constant contact by text, by phone call, by every man, thing available to them. They are not straight. And she said something like, that's what I'm calling you out on. You know?
Yes. Yeah. I don't like the fact that you're inferring they're stranded. Oh, what would you call it? You know, it just
they're traveling.
As soon as they can get the money for the ticket home, they can come home.
Yeah, there's no problem. They just got to negotiate 14 different checkpoints with Taliban, take the chance of showing their U.S. passport, not being stuck with a knife and cut their head cut off. But listen, they need to be done. This is what they need to do if they're real Americans.
It's like doing a C.W. Kendall run.
You know, and at any rate.
All our money's tied up in the $25 million we're sending to the Smithsonian Institute for cleaning supplies. That was actually in one of the stimulus packages. It's freaking, it just absurd.
And then we got to see Stephen Colbert dancing with Chuck Schumer at some big thing. No masks, big fucking rally, no masks. But I did find out that the Fox show Gutfeld, which is a late night show, actually had better ratings than Stephen Colbert on CBS.
Yeah.
Stephen Colbert and Chuck Schumer both make me want to vomit blood. I mean, both of those guys are just absolutely disgusting human beings. And it's almost Chuck Schumer's Amy Schumer's uncle. Did anybody know that?
Yeah.
How do you think she got famous?
Thank you.
Yeah. I thought it was stealing everybody's jokes.
It was either Chuck Schumer's way to do it or Kamala's way to do it. Those were the only two ways I could think of.
Yeah, I think Uncle Chuck had his hand in some of that. It's all disgusting, dude. If you do some research, you figure out how many people, especially from like the Obama administration, are literally married to people in the press. And you're like, how is that not a conflict of interest, you know? Or how do people not put two and two together and go, oh, they're saying all the shit they say in the news because the news is owned by the people who benefit mostly from this narrative. It's not that freaking hard to figure out, you know?
Yeah. And like, what's our guy, McConnell? What's his?
Mitch McConnell.
Mitch.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell. He's married to a Chinese woman whose dad owns the largest shipping company in China. Do you think he's really going to step out and speak against China?
Yeah, and either John Kerry or Mitt Romney, one of those dicks, are married to somebody in their family is like literally married to one of the mullahs of Iran or whatever they're called.
John Kerry, Frankenstein face himself, his daughter's married to one of the mullahs. Getting a lot of moolah. You know, and John Kerry, that fucking Frankenstein looking fuck. I mean, he is the environmental czar or whatever he is. Meanwhile, he's flying a private jet everywhere. You know what I mean? He's going everywhere. I have to fly in this fucking jet. You know, okay.
Yeah, whatever. And he's carbon Bigfoot.
Dude, the Green New Deal is a bigger scam than COVID is.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what's hard, and what's hard for me, I should say, is because all these people in their 20s or younger. What's the new one? There's a generation. What do they call us? The new one? I don't even know.
Useless.
But, Generation Useless. That's the one. They don't know, because I'm old enough to have gone through the 70s when there was gas shortages and Time magazine was talking about climate change back then, but it was not global warming. It was a cooling. And then all of a sudden we went through something else in the 80s. And you're nodding. I see you guys. So you know what I'm saying. Yeah. They only know what they're told right now, and they're social media savvy. So they're just bombarded with it constantly. And we're like, no, this is all bullshit. They've been lying to you guys for 30, 40, 50 years now.
Well, how about this? They say that a big problem is the seas rising. Well, if that's the case, then why did Obama just buy a $12 million house right on the water? It's all bullshit.
Yeah. Well, you know,
We need $67 billion for this thing. You wouldn't understand. You guys are too stupid. But trust us, we're going to do the right thing by you. We're not going to launder it and put it right back in our own freaking pockets.
Right. Yeah. And why did NASA have satellite photos that they actually said the glaciers had grown recently?
Yeah.
Well, they talk about one of the poles losing ice, but the other one's gaining ice. And, you know, part of about conspiracy theory is that there is a conspiracy theory that this whole global warming thing is just a farce to have people ignore what's really going to happen, which is when the Earth changes its magnet pole
polarity,
and it actually shifts. Some people would suggest that some of these deluges, you know, you mentioned during the Great Flood with Moses and stuff. The reason this happened was because the Earth went from going like this to, and then changing its movement. It's kind of like having a dish with water in it. If you just go like this with a dish with water in it, everything's okay. But if you change the direction, the water kind of changes its whole thing. So, you know, that is potentially, what we're looking
at. One of the things that's always bugged me too is how they're always talking about how we're killing the planet. We're killing the planet. Yeah. We are not killing this planet. This planet is how many billions of years old? And unless you're one of those people, no, it's only 6,000 years old. No, but we're not killing the planet. What will happen is the planet will shake us off like a dog with water. That's long before we kill it. Yeah. It'll get rid of us. Talking about that.
You guys believe, like I believe in like the Matrix type theory, which there was like six Zions, you know, Matrix. There was supposedly six previous Zions, right? That there's been, humanity has been on this earth on six different occasions. Some level of life has been on here, and it's been eradicated. And every new form of life has been like a new, like a level up. You know, it's always been part of this. Now, whether you believe in aliens or not, or some sort of other type of intervention, who the fuck knows? But I have no doubt. I believe in that philosophy. I don't know what I don't know, because as somebody who studied philosophy and studied Socrates, you know, Socrates would always say, you know, I'm the smartest man on earth because I claim to know nothing. I don't fucking sit here and act like I know, unlike my liberal friends on Facebook who know every fucking thing, you know, about every fucking thing. So, you know, I mean, you know, I just get it. That alone should teach everybody, like, if somebody says something that you don't agree with or perhaps don't follow, you may want to take it in a little bit. You know, I mean, that's the way I've always been. If somebody says something that sounds absurd to me or just crazy I haven't heard, I don't stop listening. Eventually, you keep listening until you realize, ah, that's fucking bullshit. Or you realize, hey, there's maybe something to it.
That's when I Google.
Yeah.
You know, I go, are you full of bullshit? Let me check this out. Hey, no, you're right. Sorry.
Speaking of that, it's actually amazing what you will find if you use different search engines. Like, if you type in, was 9/11 bullshit on Google, all that'll come up are, no, that's been debunked. If you type in the same thing on DuckDuckGo or Bing, all this stuff will come up. You know, like, oh, I didn't realize that the guy who was on the board of the security system for World Trade Center and United Airlines was Marvin Bush. You know, you start learning this shit and you're like, oh, wow, maybe this is gross on both sides. And then along comes Trump and like, hey, I'm trying to tell you how deep and dark it goes and I want to fix it because it's supposed to be for we the people, not for these dicks in the government to get rich doing what they're doing. And I don't know why people are so averse to that. You know, like what when people say they have a problem with America first, I'm like, what country do you live in, dickhead?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never understood. I guess because I am older and I grew up with like America and we won the war and my dad came home from World War II and God bless America. And I had a friend that escaped Cuba and they flew the American flag and, you know, to be all said, American, what's so great about it? Like, what the fuck? I don't know where you're from, but you don't belong here at all.
That's where the brainwashing has come in.
Yeah. Well, it was amazing, right? When people started protesting in Cuba, you're right. And then people are like, oh, you know, why they're carrying American flags at the same time. We had the hoople heads in our country going, you know, the American flag has stood now for white supremacy. And then whenever I see an American flag now, I think about Trump and I think about all
I'm triggered.
Yeah, I'm triggered by the American flag. You know, it's just horseshit. And, you know, in psychology, there's something called recency. You mentioned it earlier, how the populace will only remember what's recently happened. They forget things that have transpired prior to that and make sense of it. So they only fire a recency, the things that have recently happened, and that's their only go-to, their reference, allowing horseshit to happen. Well,
think about Cuba. You know, we're sitting here talking about Cuba. We've totally forgotten about Cuba, who loves American freedom. They would love to throw communism aside. But we're all about Afghanistan. We need to bring those people here. They need to come to America. But how come we didn't go for Cuba? How come we didn't go down there? You know what? You're right. Let's go down there, kick some ass, and make people that love Trump, which most Cubans, there were Cubans for Trump. See, they want people to come here that are not American-supporting people.
Yeah.
30,000 unvetted Afghanistans from the most terror-ridden country on the planet. Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, come on down. We got a place in Naples for you.
You know, it only takes a few of those 30,000 to be complete dicks. And then,
you know, it only takes one tiny firecracker to go into a box of hand grenades to blow up the entire thing. That's what I always say. Yeah. You know, it only takes, you know, you can't judge them all. No, but one bad fucker blows up the whole shit.
Ahmed, my buddy comic, we were doing a show in Naples. He had somebody call from the audience, 911, because they were scared from his comment. But his joke was basically, hey, how many Muslims we have out there? You know, and he goes, oh, that's okay. You know, it only takes one. And, you know, that's it. And it was, you know, somebody freaked out. But it's right. And we forget that. And, you know, you're letting all these people come in. And you're right. Listen, obviously, I care about human life, but I care about this country. I care about my friends and everybody living here. I can't say I don't care about Afghanistan, but there's nothing I could do about it. You know, and it is what it is. And you're like, even like Cuba, even like, that's why you can't say you don't give a shit about this country, but I'm going to give a shit about Nicaragua. I'm going to give a shit about what's happening down there. And somebody said it best. I think it was Cotter, Congressman Cotter, that says, If 400 million people from other countries said, we don't like it here, we're going to want to go to the U.S., you can't fucking take them in. You know, so anybody says, well, this is this country. This is what this is about. Well,
this is who we are. I always hear that. This is who we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is who we are. Meanwhile, the Canadian.
Well, you know, here's another thing that bugs me, too, is I was talking to my son about this, how we always want to help other countries. Like, we, you know, Oprah, we spent $50 million on schools in Africa. There's uneducated kids in Virginia. You know what I mean? We want to feed the starving. You know, okay, I know some people in Ohio that are eating ramen right now, but it's not a beautiful thing. You can't tell your friends at a cocktail party, hey, you know, I'm feeding some kids in Virginia.
Yeah.
Well, it's like people want to call Trump a racist and all that crap. And, you know, he was the one that was pushing for school choice. You know how many smart black kids that are in shitty school systems right now and they can't go to another school because they don't have a choice to, you know?
Yeah.
If people would just think about this shit instead of just being like, no, you know, it's like the people who think they took the moral high ground by voting for Joe Biden make me want to vomit. I'm like, have you ever looked into that man's past? Have you ever looked into anything he's done that he hooked up with his wife while she was still married to a guy who donated millions to his campaign? Or the fact that his son is not only a crackhead, but he got his, he moved in with his dead wife's brother like a month after she died. Yeah. You know who raises somebody like that? You know, a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And we wonder why this pullout didn't work well either.
Yeah, not to mention Joe Biden, people keep forgetting the accident where his wife died, right, and his kids were really injured. There was an accident with a guy driving a truck, and the Biden was forced, and they got Washington to pressure this guy to claim he was drunk, and he was the cause of the accident, when in fact it wasn't his fault. And so that whole accident was they pressured the truck driver, and they tried to defame the truck driver being drunk, when meanwhile it was Biden's wife just trying to get away from his fucking cuckoo ass. And, you know, and we talk about this there, you know, and people like calling Trump racist. Well, there is video, there is documentation, there's laws that were passed by Biden that prove he's racist. So if you want to make a comment about what he said about Mexico being Trump or all these other supposed things about being racist, just for everything you supposedly have proof on Trump being racist, there's 10 things you could say about Biden. An actual, here's a guy that lied. He lied about marching for Mandela. He lied about being arrested. He plagiarized somebody's speech during an election speech. He had to walk away from a presidential election back was in the set.
Where 88, 86. I can't remember. 86, back in the 80s.
88.
When he's running against Dukakis. He couldn't beat Dukakis.
When he had his brain.
Yeah. All right. So let me ask you guys a question.
Hey, let me say this real quick, though. I have to make this point. Joe Biden eulogized Strom Thurmond and Robert Byrd. Strom Thurmond was a rabid segregationist, and Robert Byrd was in the fucking Klan. I mean, and he looked up and greatly admired these people. He, you know, speaking of systemic racism, the 94 crime bill is the best example there is of it, and that motherfucker wrote it and sponsored it. And the fact that people don't know this stuff just makes me crazy.
Yeah.
And like Kamala Harris sending more black guys to jail for drugs.
Yeah.
And keeping them longer than their sentences were for.
Yeah.
And she even called him a racist during the presidential campaign. And now she's, you know, it's all a bunch of horse shit.
And she sat on information that would have freed a guy from death row because it would have made her look bad. And she, like you said, the 1,500 black guys that she put in there to pad her conviction record. It's all just like, you fuckheads don't. I'm sorry. I get so fired up about this shit because it's like
that's why I love you, Tim.
Well, I got to ask you guys, because you mentioned it. We all know how Steve has suffered because of his ideological beliefs, which is unbelievable to me. Right. What you went through. And Tim, you know, we kind of briefly discussed this a little bit, you know, because, you know, I've had people message me because especially during the election and stuff like, hey, Doug, I just want to let you know. I'm with you. I'm on your side about everything you're saying. I just wish I could speak out more about it. And, you know, listen, it's already caused me issues. I'm not going to mention names, but there's two or three different individuals or club owners and stuff like that that don't book me because of my ideological beliefs. And you know what? You have to reach a point where you're like, well, what do I do? Because if I don't speak out, I'm just like the liberals who ignore what true character Biden has. And you know what? I don't do that. You know, and my wife has said it, you know, because I stopped making certain political posts because I was tired of going through it. But at the point you get to, like, when I watch Biden speak to them, I'm like, what a fucking liar. This guy's a fucking puppet. You know, he is. He's being puppeted by a cabal, by a globalist agenda. And the only thing that I have any happiness about is that his shit is so obvious. You know, the shit is becoming so obvious that even certain people are starting to realize he's full of shit.
Yeah, but what the worst thing to me is once they get rid of him, then you bring in Kamala Harris, and I think that's been the plan all along, you know?
The only thing
what's worse, if you got rid of her, then it's Nancy.
That is the way it goes, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's terrifying
unless you can put together anything between the three, right? Now, there's an underlying similarity or common denominator on the mischief, and then you can basically go into a coup or like a military state or just basically have like a push for a whole new election.
Right. You get all three at one time and then you have to start over again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you guys ever listen to X-22 Report?
No, I haven't heard of that.
Well, you should check it out. It'll give you a little bit of hope for what's going on behind the scenes. And I'm not, you know, I can't sit here and tell you that it's 100% sure true, but a lot of the gut things that this guy said was going to happen, it has happened and played out the way he said it was going to. And right now they're trying to set it up that, you know, that Trump supporters are going to, they're going to riot in August or something like that because they think he should be put back in the White House, which is not the truth. You know, people, there's no set date for if and when that's going to happen. And anyway, you should check it out. It's it'll give you hope. And yeah, I think something much deeper is going on here than politics as usual, personally. And that's why I got so boisterous about it and voicing my opinion on it so much, because I see something on the wall for us that's a lot worse than just the fact that he's going to jack up gas prices and inflation and all the other stupid shit he's doing. I see something.
Well, you know, as conservatives, we were always, you know, live and let live, you know, do my, you know, like old Hank Jr., mind your own business and you won't be minding mine. We were just kind of do your, but that's what they used against us for so long that we're like, whatever, I'm not into this. And then if we don't speak up, it's too late. Like, yeah. We're at that point right now that if we don't, that's where I am. I just got went, no, I can't be quiet anymore because this is why we're in the position we're in right now.
Yes. It's very sad to me that more comedians aren't thinking more about this, you know, like on a broader scale, like not just, oh, this is popular, so I'm going to go with this. Like, no, right. Dumbass, I get it, but
Well, how does that affect it? Because I asked you guys that. Has that affected relationships with fellow comics who, because, you know, for the most part, I mean, I know a dozen or so of my comedian friends that are and that are very quiet about it, you know, that aren't that outspoken as, let's say, the three of us, you know what I mean? But they are very conservative. And but because of their own self-preservation in the industry, they have kept quiet about it. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean. Yeah.
I know some that are working the club that I was removed from, the one you and I have talked about, that, and I even said, you know, I posted something underneath it about working that club as everything's changed, and that post got removed. Like, that comic didn't want anybody to see the post that I had said, oh, is everything okay with Trump people now, you know?
Yeah.
Have you seen anything, Tim? We obviously know, you know, fucking Steve has gotten his shit for that. Has this affected you and your business? Because you're out there, you're all over. I don't see you being held back anywhere.
Well, I mean, I definitely got way less work than I used to. It used to not be this hard, and you know, I've had conversations with some comics that I genuinely liked, and I tried to explain to them where I was coming from. And I spent a half an hour, a couple of different times, crafting this long, detailed message explaining exactly why I felt the way that I did and why, thinking that they were going to be like, oh, well, shit, I never thought about it that way. And both times, they just sent me back this flippant, like, two-word, like, or you've been duped. And I'm like, I just spent all that time explaining to you in a very kind way exactly why I feel the way I do, and you just give me back some shithead answer like that, like you didn't even listen to me. I've wasted so much time this year trying to explain that to people, and if they do that a couple times, I just block them. I'm like, fuck them, life's too short. I don't care. I'm not gonna spend my day annoyed when I'm trying to take care of my 3-year-old because some shithead can't get what I'm trying to say.
Well, how does that affect, like, in other words, because we got to be truthful. I feel that way. I'm always going to be truthful about the way I feel about something. And if something happens, I'm going to take it in. I'm not going to blindly go with one side. I try to make sense of it and shit. But at the same time, it's like, how important is that relationship with fellow comics? Like, is it, you know, because like I said, there's one particular comment was actually unfriended me over it. And he runs a club. So I'm guessing, well, I guess this guy would never book me at this club. You know, now that kind of thing. But I mean, it's in a club that's in a certain part of the country I'd probably never want to fucking go to anyway. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I mean, You know what I mean? So I mean, how do you guys deal with that? Like,
well, here's the one thing that I have trouble with. And Dougie, you saw me. We worked together in Oklahoma. My show is pretty good. I do an okay show.
And it's fucking a lot better than okay.
I'm not political in my show. I want comedy to be comedy. I don't want to divide the audience. I'm not there to piss anybody off. You know, this is a comedy show. So I don't understand why clubs got upset with me for being a conservative, because my act is not about political. They right. just got butthurt because I think they're stupid for voting for Biden.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole brainwashing thing. That's why they think they're on the right side of this. And so that's why there's nothing worse than idiots who feel justified, you know, and that's what they've been taught. That if you're on this side, you're allowed to say whatever you want because you're being true and good. And if you're on this side, well, I can't believe you would support that piece of shit. And it's like, I can't believe you're too stupid to see the writing on the wall for what's down the road for this country. That's what makes me crazy.
Well, that's why the only solace I have in this guy fucking up is that he's fucking up, and that, you know, eventually the most important people, not the diehards, not the people on the fringe, but the people in the middle are seeing it. And I've had friends that are more left than they are right, and they're like, oh God, this is horrible. I'm like, well, you know, during the you would think during Trump's presidency, everybody's like, oh, this is a mess. I'm like, what do you mean it's a mess? My 401k is up, gas price yeah. low.
My house price went up. I can sell this thing, make some
what
money.
What the fuck is so bad? The fact that you don't like the guy, what he's saying about certain things? I mean, you know, I go, I don't give a fuck. You know, like,
he called Rosie O'Donnell fat.
Oh, he's so mean. I'm like, you know what? I don't give a fuck. Like, you know, that's what it's all about, right? I don't get, like, especially as comics, we got thick skin. If somebody says you suck, you're like, well, guess what? I got a gig next week, so I don't give a fuck what you like. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why I'm for bringing back bullying. I know that's a horrible thing, but I'm serious. I even do a thing in my act sometime about, you know, there when I was little, there wasn't a lot of unhealthy kids in my school. There was a kid, one kid with a note, and we teased him till he finally got out and played with us. You know, and that's what we need to bring, that kind of stuff back. I'm not talking about, you know, bullying, but not let everybody just be a wimp. You know, if your kid comes in with lures in his face and purple hair, you're like, my dad would have just been like, what the fuck? Not in my house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We need to bring that back, you know? Well, all the kids are doing it. Well, if all the kids jumped off the bridge, would you do that? Remember that kind of?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bring that back.
Yeah.
I agree. On my other podcast with my right friend, hanging with Mark and Dougie, yeah, Brett Favre came out and advocated for kids 15 and under should not play tackle football. And my buddy Mark's like, aren't kids pussies enough? You know, it's like, the reason why the youth today can't deal with adversity is because they don't have to, because their parents keep protecting them and coddling them and like enabling them and all this kind of shit. I ran a karate school and I taught soccer, and the kids are great. You know who fucking sucks? The parents. You know, because the parents will make excuses for the kids and want you to, like, look, this kid's got to fucking learn. You know, the kid's got to get punched in the face. You know, you don't know pain until you know pain.
You're right. Like, if he says something to somebody, like he mouths off to a kid at school, he needs to get punched in the mouth and go, man, I probably ought not talk like that.
Yeah. I agree with what you're saying, Dougie.
Yeah, that's how you learn.
Part of the reason the anxiety and depression is so through the roof, you know, kids have so many options now, and they've only got one life, you know, like, so and everything is just handed to them so quickly. Like, you remember having to wait for a movie to come out and all that shit? Like, people think you're just being an old guy talking that way, but it's like, no, that taught you like patience and how to look forward to shit and how to not get depressed as soon as something was over. And
yeah. Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because this is something I was thinking about the other day. I was jotting down how for generations people are going, kids today, they suck. You know, these kids, you know, right after the Civil War, I'm sure they were like, those kids today. And, you know, the whole thing about Elvis, that's garbage music. And so everybody's saying, oh, you're just old. But at one point, you know, it might be really as true at this point. You know, kids are worthless. No, you're right. At this point right now, they've become worthless.
Yeah.
So, you know, they might have been seeing it for centuries, but eventually you chip off enough cheese, all the cheese is gone.
Yeah. Well,
you know, they talk about how smart they are with their ability for technology and all this stuff. But, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link. Right. Like as a country, as a team, as anybody. So you could be smart. You could know how to speak six languages. You could know how to write spreadsheets. You can write be like code. You could be able to do all that stuff. But if somebody calls you a name and you lose your fucking mind and you get depressed because Billy didn't like what you said and you feel like then you're fucked. It doesn't matter how many languages you speak. It doesn't matter how capable you are of achieving things when you're when your skin is so thin that you have no self-esteem. And that's basically what we're seeing, you know, that kids are these generations going through stuff. That's why you can't tell. That's why you have the problem you have when somebody sits there and just completely, like you said, you can sit there and take the time. Like I mentioned, this one comic said something to me. It's like, well, what about this, this, and this? And I entertained it. And then I realized, I go, you're just deflecting. You're not even, you know, why am I wasting my time going through what you want to talk about? Like I was going to be a lawyer, so I really understood the aspects of being a lawyer. So the power of questioning, and I love when people, liberals, ask you questions like, well, what about this? I'm like, I'm not going to answer your question. Well, why not? Because you don't have the answer. You're scared to answer. No, because I'm not your fucking sheep. I'm not the person who's going to answer your fucking questions. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm not here to answer your questions. I'm here to fucking talk about what needs to be talked about.
Right. Well, here's today I got an email. I was asked to be a guest on the Young Turks show. I don't know if you guys know those. The liberal show, the Young Turks.
Oh, okay.
And I turned it down. I said, no, I'm not going to do it, because even Ben Shapiro went on there and they made him look like an idiot because it's their show and they're liberals. And I'm like, no, I know this is a trap. You guys want me to come on as a conservative comic. And you will do nothing but, hey, Leonard Skinner, back up your, hey, why don't you cut your hair? Just anything to make me look bad.
Yeah.
So And
they would, even if you were great on it, they would edit it in a way that made you look, you know.
Right. Or as soon as your segment is over, then they'll start tearing you up. Was that not dumb? Some of the dumbest shit you've ever heard in your life?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let's hope that, you know, somehow we see the pendulum start to swing the other way. And that's all we could do. I had some other questions here, but I want to go over some of these news stories. Because
there's also, let me plug this real quick. It's not my thing, but there's something you can find on bitshoot.com called The Plan to Save the World. It's 14 minutes long. And I encourage people to watch that and make their own conclusions from it about how feasible it is. But if you think about war and famine and all this shit, again, I said this earlier, it's all by design and it's all orchestrated and funded. The freaking World War II was funded on both sides by the Rothschilds. And people like that just control all of us with all their shit. And they sit back and laugh their asses off and they make tons of money off of it. There are 8 people have the same amount of money as like half the world. It's insane.
Right. They're playing risk with us.
Yeah. It sounds funny, but it's fucking true.
Yeah. This big piece, I'm going to call Dougie. I'm going to move here. I refer to that as the ones holding the scepters. You know, there are 8 or 9 people that are holding the scepters. And you're right. And that they're asking us to follow and do all these things. But hey, let's break it down to some stories on the ground level, because I do believe in a lot of this conspiracy shit. I do think that it's ultimately going to the same thing. It's ultimately going to, they're going to weed them out. They're going to get rid of people. And, let's see what happens. But here's
already have, dude. I mean, if you look at how many people have resigned, CEOs and all these big pop, it's happening. People just don't realize it.
Yeah. The power, you know, the control, the power, it's just crazy. Here's a story. Let's do the news as a joke. And I think you guys will appreciate this. This just brings ridicule or ridiculousness to a ground more level. We're not talking way up here with the world. We're talking about everyday life, made accused of mixing menstrual blood and urine into employers' food.
Wow. wasn't that the plot of The Help?
Who was she?
Yeah, a domestic helper accused of mixing her menstrual blood and urine into her former employee's food claimed on Monday that it's all a big misunderstanding.
My chicken tetrazzini tastes funny.
Isn't Alfredo sauce supposed to be white?
Is it too spicy? No, it tastes like blood and urine. Yeah.
I seem to be having too much
iron. That sounds like a new show on Netflix, Blood and Urine.
Canaris Rowena Olola, 44-year-old Filipina, however, denied ever committing the offenses, claiming, though, lawyer, that she had lied to her ex-boyfriend. Supposedly her ex-boyfriend warned the gentleman she was working for that what he was doing. And again, I brought up my buddy Ahmed. Ahmed tells a joke about Anga Kang, which is when it's an Asian thing where they drip their blood into rice so they can control you. It's an old saying. So has anybody ever slipped anything in your drink? You ever been Mickey'd? You ever been felt like you've been drugged or?
No. Not, I might have had something put into my Waffle House food, but I don't notice it because anytime I've been to Waffle House, I probably didn't care.
No, I don't think I ever got roofied.
Yeah. Well, you know, while we were in Tulsa, by the way, Steve, if you had just drank that fucking milkshake, got my own.
They call him Druggy, not Dougie.
Yeah, Druggy Almeida. Well, there you go. So much for that news source. This was a funny Andrew Cuomo. How great is it that at least this guy got fucking able to resign? Andrew Cuomo left his dog captain at the governor's mansion after he moved out. Left his fucking dog. Asked the staff, anybody want this fucking dog?
Well, at least he didn't put it in a nursing home to die.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Exactly. You know, I mean, I feel bad for the dog, but it doesn't shock me if he, you know, basically is the reason all those old people in New York City died. Yeah. And, you know, they finally, you know, I'm not for him sexually harassing women, but I don't think it's as serious as murdering old people, you know, but yeah,
he made me uncomfortable. He killed my grandmother. You want to talk about it?
I know. I mean, the shit that people don't know that, you know, most of the deaths are from like five different states where they all did that shit.
Well, that was definitely a globalistic move to get rid of the old people, get rid of the people that are sucking up the costs of Medicare, yeah. Medical costs, right? Obama was the one who brought up these death panels, right? They're talking about people when it comes to getting health insurance and coverage, you know, and you know what, as a pragmatist, you look at some of these old people that are sitting on life support or in these fucking hospitals and spending $300,000 a month in medical costs just to keep them alive. Meanwhile, they can't even remember their name. You know, that's a question. Do you continue treating people that have no quality of life? And and that's what's crazy about this country. People are like, oh, you can't do that. But then at the same time, you know, you have these people doing this shit. We all know. And now we also know that there's a personal vendetta with Biden against fucking DeSantis in Florida. You know, he's purposely trying to make, you know, they came out was a month ago that the numbers that came out of Florida were wrong. The numbers that there were, the COVID numbers and some of these death numbers that came out of COVID were reported wrong to make DeSantis look worse.
Because when people see that Texas and Florida are actually doing just fine, then this whole narrative is shot to hell. Same with South Dakota. You know, again, that's why they're pushing so hard for the PCR test to be, you know, for everyone to get vaccinated before December 31st when the new tests come out. It's because it's all bullshit. It's all political driven bullshit. 94% of the people who died of COVID, most of them were going to die of something else anyway. It was like, you know, I don't know how many videos I have to see of doctors saying, yeah, if you die with COVID, it doesn't matter what you die of. We're going to say you died of COVID.
Right.
Yeah. They were saying not died from, died with.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Crazy. But yeah, so Cuomo and, you know, and what he did and you know, that's the one thing I didn't like about leaving Florida. I moved out of Florida. I miss my governor. Do you think, first of all, you guys think Trump will run in 2024?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
I think he will, but I think there's also a fairly decent chance that it'll happen. He'll become president before that. Maybe I shouldn't say that.
But, oh, this guy's fucking crazy. You hear this?
God, I will never hire him.
But this fucking guy, you ain't going to work my club, bitch.
Yeah, I know. Maybe I shouldn't have said it, but
I agree with you. I think there's things that we don't know. I'll admit to not knowing, but there's a lot of going on with it that things are happening that could have make that prediction happen.
Yeah, all the votes that guy needed happened in the middle of the night in all the states that he needed them to happen. And people are just like, oh, that sounds feasible. It sounds feasible that doddering old man got the most votes in history, and he had to because Trump got the second most. You know, it's just like, how do you motherfuckers not see what's happening here? It's not about Democrat or Republican. It's about this country and how it's just going to go to shit for all of us.
Yeah. Well, this is the one thing that's so simple and so basic that I keep pushing at people. I go, I don't know how you don't understand this. If it wasn't rigged, if you didn't cheat, wouldn't you be like, here, there you go, suck it. Yes. You know what I mean? That's to me, that's the easiest. You wouldn't be trying to block an audit. You'd be like, check it out.
Yes. Why are they fighting it so hard if there's nothing to find? And you know what? All they bitched about for 4 years was how Trump cheated in the election, and that's how he won. Well, then how come they didn't do a forensic audit? And I'll tell you why. It's because they cheated their ass off in 2016 as well. They just didn't cheat enough to win, and that's why they made sure to do it in 2020.
Yeah.
And call that crazy if you want to, but – If they were really that convinced, why didn't they do a forensic audit?
I love when people say that about evidence. There's no evidence. I'm like, you know, over 93% of the crimes committed in this country are never solved. And it's because there's not discoverable evidence. That doesn't mean the crimes weren't committed. Yeah. So, you know,
it's like an unsolved murder. It happened. We just don't know who did it.
Yeah.
We still don't know the true killer of John F. Kennedy. You know, you know, there's still things, you know, I love when people talk about facts and truths and stuff. And I bring this up on my show. I said, here's an example of a factual statement. All single men are bachelors. That is a factual statement that nobody here can argue. But if you want to rely on anything else, sometimes fact and truth evolves. Sometimes it has to occur over time to happen. Our next story. This is great. A man in his 40s fell to his death at a New York City concert after attempting to body flip. I mean, again, you know, I believe I believe in Darwin. You know, I do. You know, I just feel it. But if you're 40 years old going to a concert and trying to stage dive,
sometimes you get what you deserve.
Exactly. Sometimes, you know. What's the saying? You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
Yeah. I thought you guys were going to catch me. Hey,
everybody, I'm coming down. A man fell to his death after attempting to do a flip on a balcony during a rock concert in New York City at the Citi Field, where the New York Mets play and lose.
Drugs are bad, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, with all this shit going on, I don't feel bad for that guy.
No, you know what I mean. There's only so much places I could put my sympathy, and it's not with that guy. Yeah. So good riddance. A TikTok doctor explains why sneaker filled with human feet keep washing up on the beaches of the Pacific Northwest.
Say that again, please.
So, in the Pacific Northwest, they found dozens of people like feet. Are washing up on the shore, like in the Pacific Northwest, sneakers or shoes with feet in them, and that's it.
Huh? That's some picky ass sharks.
Yeah. Well,
sharks with feet.
I don't do toes.
I like them humans, but the feet you can keep. Listen. There are some people that thought there was a crazy person out there. Serial killer with feet, and But it turns out that the theory is brought out that, you know, people get buried at sea, or people's bodies get pushed out to sea. So they're wearing sneakers. I mean, I thought people when they're buried are buried without shoes on. Right. Cause like, even like the Beatles album, Abbey Lane, when they're walking, you know, they, you know, Paul's dead, you know, and they had Paul with no shoes on, and,
yeah,
and Lennon was wearing all white, like he was the angel, and George Harrison was dressed as a ditch digger when they're walking across Abbey Lane. I mean, I don't think people, but he basically said that people get pushed, they get pushed into the ocean. And what happens is those sneakers have like those fillings around the edge of the ankle. And then, like you said, the ankle is such very little real bone, like strong muscle tendons, that the fish eat away at it, and the foot just breaks off the body. And then you got feet on the Pacific Northwest.
Huh. Or there's a lot of discount funerals where they're like, I'll take that casket. It's a little short. Don't worry about it. He'll fit.
We'll make him fit. We got a place for his feet.
What, does everybody play basketball around here? Fuck. Yeah, that was interesting. And our last story, South Carolina man gave a child a face tattoo. Little kid. And he did it at a McDonald's.
Was it his kid?
Good question. South Carolina.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Has been allegedly giving a face tattoo to a McDonald's restaurant. Brandon Prescia, 28, of Lawrence, South Carolina, is charged with illegal tattooing an underage tattoo after police learned a minor received the tattoo from this guy.
You mean like an actual, just sitting there.
Yeah. At McDonald's.
At McDonald's. That's when somebody says, I was at a McDonald's and I was having a Happy Meal, and this one kid was getting a tattoo from some other guy.
At McDonald's.
What was the tattoo of?
It was of a hamburger, actually. No, I don't know. It was of a Happy Meal.
I'd like a Hamburglar right here.
I want to look like Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
He was arrested on this past Tuesday.
Who was? Tyson? Oh, shit.
Yeah. No, I wasn't arrested. I did that years ago. Authorities were tipped off that a man had tattooed a child's face at a restaurant after a customer filmed the incident.
Yeah, okay. What a dick
face. Posted a video.
He doesn't say, hey, maybe you should not tattoo that kid's face.
Yeah.
Now it's right. Right. Hey, Tim, Tim, what would you do if your kid, 3 years old, came home from McDonald's with a tat on his face?
Well, he wouldn't be there without me in the first. He wouldn't be there at all, actually. My goal is to never feed him that shit. So when he's like eight and some dickhead parent takes him to McDonald's, he almost shits his pants and never wants to eat it again. That's what I hope for.
Good for you. Good for you. Oh, God. You know,
you don't let him go there and jump around in those COVID-filled balls?
No, we haven't. We've never been to a McDonald's, but I would let him jump around in the balls. Because he's got
an immune. That's how it starts.
Next thing you know, he's in drama class.
I love these balls in my face.
I don't know where I learned this.
Do they still even have those things? I haven't been to McDonald's in a long time. I don't know. Do they still have the ball pits?
I don't know. Okay. I just remember all the playgrounds where, you know, we used to be able to, the kids could go, they played on the little springy things out front, like Mayor McCheese.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they had to bring them inside and encase them because parents couldn't watch their own kids, you know?
Yeah. I know. I see people all the time at the park just on their phones, and I'm like, man, I leave that thing in the car for a reason, you know? You look up, and they're freaking gone, and that's the scariest shit in the world.
I tweeted for a second, and I looked over, and my child was gone!
Dude, mine disappears while I'm looking right at him, so I can't imagine. Well,
he goes like this.
Dude, he does sometimes. It is the scariest shit of my life whenever I can't see my boy for like 30 seconds. I'm like, oh, shit! Oh, I can't imagine. That's the worst thing ever.
That's got to be nuts, man. That's got to be nuts. Well, I think the only thing we have left to talk about, gentlemen, is what we're going to name this tour. You know, the first thing I thought about was the Deplorables, but that tour has already been named. right? Stephen Benson.
Yeah, I did that. We did the Deplorables tour a couple years ago with me, Terrence Williams, the Deplorable Choir, and Michael Loftus, and the guitar guy from Brian Hainer.
Hmm. So we have to come up with a name. I've got some connections. We're going to hit every little town theater, and it'll be us and Kurt Fletcher, which was a friend of Tim's, opened for Tim. And the four of us, and I thought FAF, the funniest fuck tour, because it would be funny as fuck with you fucking guys at the helm. And but then I started thinking, what about the Red State tour or the fucking, we got to come up. Like, here's the thing. I believe that because I was worried about this before I moved to South Carolina. I was worried, is my comedy, because I don't really get political, but I do have an angle to my comedy. You know what I mean? I do have certain phrasing and certain things, that could be triggered, and we make fun of it, right? But at the same time, there's people that love it. I did a show in Newton, North Carolina. They almost carried me out of there like I was a god, you know what I mean? Because they got to hear jokes they wanted to hear. We weren't doing fucking Trump jokes and, I remember doing a show in South Carolina or North Carolina a couple of years ago, and it was a comic from LA, and he came in there, he was just ripping on Trump, and he ate a dick. I mean, the 30 minutes was just brutal.
Yeah.
And he walked into the green, was like, holy fuck. I go, dude, you're in North Carolina. You're going to tell Trump jokes in North Carolina?
Well, here's what you do with the podcast right now. We just set it out. What should you call the tour? And see what all the responses are. Sometimes that's the best thing is people. Yeah. General public, there's some funny people out there. A lot of times I'll come up with an idea for a joke. I'll throw out the premise, and like I'll read about six tweets down. Damn, there's the punchline. Thank you. I'm taking that.
What about the Common Sense Tour? Is that possible?
Yeah,
that's possible. Tour. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
making Common Sense more common.
Yeah, no shit.
The Triggered Tour?
Yeah.
Yeah, something to that effect, but
bringing back the belt.
I just think that we could definitely. Gotta be countless places, these little theaters that we could put together a tour, and they will just come out in droves because they're hungry for it. Yeah. And I just think that crowd is just going to get bigger and bigger as we watch this muppet of a moron we have as a president that will continue. And I keep telling this to my liberal friends. I go, look, okay, I get it, Afghanistan. I get it. You don't accept that he fucked up. I get it. Okay, it was true. You're right. It was Trump's fault. You're right. Okay, let's wait till the next time he fucks up, because he's gonna fuck up.
You know what sucks is I hate dividing anybody or not. Some people not wanting to come, because I know that there are people in the crowd who are Democrat or liberal or whatever they want to call themselves, who have always enjoyed my comedy. And I've always gotten along with. And
me too.
I just want people's eyes to be open to the truth, not coming from a, just this side or whatever. I'm a little more conspiratorial, I think, than you guys. But I've looked into some things and how people with money and power do so much to divide us. It's all by design, all this shit.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that doesn't go along with what we're talking about right now, but
I think it's great. I remember, I'll share this with you, Steve. Tim and I worked together at the Little Rock Loony Bin. I think it was when we met. And I remember thinking, I wonder if this crowd will like my material and shit. And then Tim goes out there and he's like, hey, how you guys doing through this fake pandemic? I was like, guys, I'm fucking gonna be fine in this fucking room.
Well, I'll just try to slip in enough to people so people know where I'm coming from. Like, the jokes aren't there, but I'll talk about everybody's shopping online now. Malls are empty. Malls are now deader than Joe Biden's dick.
Yeah.
Because you just slip in something like that and you don't have to be like, oh, isn't he a dumbass?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I think that there's definitely that's what it's all about. And I, like I said, aside from references, I don't think I do political humor either. But I think we're going to put this tour together. I think we're going to rock the fucking states. And the big picture is, I think the one good thing is that Joe Biden is showing his true colors, And everybody he's appointed, his administration sucks. You know, look at the guy who's Secretary of Defense, who was sitting there going, how many Americans do we have in Afghanistan? He was like,
I don't know.
Well, what the fuck? You're the fucking next Secretary of Defense, you cocksucker. You don't know this shit?
Well, the one that got me is when they asked him about getting people out of Afghanistan, and he said, we don't have the capability to go out there and get them. And you're like, what? We're America. We're the biggest military in the world. We're the superpower. And even like Marcus Luttrell, the lone survivor, the one that made the movie about, he's like, I got buddies. Drop us in. We'll get them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if fucking even Steven Seagal's like, get me in there, motherfucker. I'll fucking help you. No one's going to help me. You know what I mean? You're right. The British, the French got their own special forces grabbing people.
Right.
And our spokespeople for the greatest, the most powerful country armies in the world are going, oh, we
don't have the capabilities.
We can't do it. We can't do it. We tried to call an Uber to get them out, but
all the drivers were over here in America.
Yeah. they're all here in America collecting unemployment. We couldn't get an Uber.
Man, I had an Uber driver not too long ago. This guy had so much cologne on, I swear to God, I could smell it. He had his windows up, and I could smell it through the windows. And I was like 20 feet from the car, and I was like, I can smell this guy's cologne already. I opened that door, dude, and it was like, whoa. I mean, I thought I was going to knock me on my ass. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, holy Lord, dude.
Yeah,
like,
and had his radio station going.
Oh, it was awful. I was like, are you in a whorehouse? Like, why does it smell like that?
You know, he had so much cologne on him. When you got out of the car, you had it on.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely did. Well, I swear I could smell through the window.
That's when you go ahead and just cancel your Uber and accept the $5 charge. Like, no, that's worth $5 not to get that on me.
Yeah, no.
$5? I had fucking one time they charged me $150.
For canceling your Uber?
I was in California. I was in North Hollywood. I was actually, the nice place is Mike Marino's let me crash at his place. I was in North Hollywood. I was there, and I put the wrong address in. It was like $180 to get an Uber. Oh, that's the wrong fucking city. And I canceled it, and they're trying to charge me $180 for canceling the fucking drive. I'm like,
no. Typically, it's a $5 charge. Like I've waited too long. Give me another one. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy. Well, that's all we have time for, fellas. I'm sure we can sit here and kind of come up.
We'll do it again.
We're gonna do it again, and we will ask our listeners to come up with a comedy tour. For us, any names, tweet. You can post it at Wake Up Dougie on Twitter or our fan page on Twitter or Instagram at Wake Up Dougie Show or our fan page on Facebook. Whatever you think the tour should be. You know, what was the one thing you said? No more bullshit tour. The Red State comedy tour.
How about if you think America sucks, we think you suck tour.
Tour.
Hey, all I know is I'm excited to be on stage with you fucking guys because you're both fucking hilarious. And by the way, I saw a photo. My one of my good friends said, oh, Steve, he saw you. Him and his girl were on a cruise, and they went to the show, and they said, I didn't know the guy's name. I didn't know who he was, but I went to go watch the show on the cruise, and they said, this guy was so fucking funny. And so then he sends me a photo, which I shared with you, where you look like fucking Elvis. You actually look like Wayne Newton in that fucking photo.
That was I taped a comedy special in the UK, and that was back in the mid 90s, and I was really into rockabilly for a long time. I had the pompadour and the big sideburns, and that's what got me my job with Dolly Parton. I worked for Dolly Parton for a year doing I opened the show as stand up, but then I played Elvis in the show because I already had that look. So
awesome.
My buddy sends me the picture. Who's this? Like, I have no idea who the fuck this is. Wayne Newton's brother? Who the fuck is it? You know.
Oh, it was me in a bright suit and the big sideburns and giant pompadour.
Yeah, you have changed up your look over the years because I've seen several headshots of you and I'm like, wow, McGrew's really mixed it up over the years. Good for him.
Yeah. Well, I always thought I wanted to be known for being funny, not like a character. Like Pee Wee Herman had to look like Pee Wee Herman every time he went on stage. You know, there were certain comics that had to have that look. And I always like, hey, if I want to do this week, I'm going to do it. If I want to go home with a beard, I'll do it. If I'll shave my head, I'll do it. Yeah. Just be funny. I didn't want them to expect something every time, you know?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Great point. Well, enough edification for our listeners. They've got enough. And let's see, they go home and think about all kinds of stuff like globalization, new world order, depegging of the U.S. dollar, Biden's a fucking asshole. There's so much stuff for you guys to listen to.
And Trump could be back before 2024.
If you really want to go down some rabbit holes, listen to X-22 Report, watch the movie, the documentary Fall of Cabal, watch the sequel to Fall of Cabal, and then you'll really, your eyes will really be open to some shit like, oh my God.
Your face will look like this.
Yes. Just be prepared to change the way you think about some things if you watch this shit, because anyway.
Preach. Anyway.
Well, thanks for having me, Dougie.
God bless you guys. I can't wait to see you guys all again. We're all going to get together, and God willing, this country will be in a better place before we know it.
Yeah, it will be. Got to trust in it. God bless all of you.
That's the word I was thinking, the patriots of comedy.
Oh, that's good. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. See? That actually was one of my good listeners just messaged me. So I owe him $20. Anyway, guys, thanks so much for being on the show. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie and on Instagram at The Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and follow me at Dougie Dangerous on Twitter and at TikTok at Funny Fiduciary. What's coming up for you, Steve?
I've got shows coming up. I can't remember exactly because I don't look at my calendar. But like I always say, Google Steve McGrew, Steve Mudflap McGrew, because I'm addicted to social media. It's going to be Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. All of it will come up.
Tim?
TimGaitherComedy.com has all my dates, and it has my podcast and anything you want to find, all my social media links and all that shit. So, yeah, TimGaitherComedy.com.
God bless. You guys got over an hour of funny and education today on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. God bless. And hopefully we'll be back with an all-new show next week right here at the same spot. Until then, take care and speak the truth and be yourselves. Take care.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
He got
Wake up!
I'm not psycho!
Wake up!